allegiance.
Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yep, no more, Gary.
Yep.
Okay, Tom, I assume you're running this show.
Well, no, why don't, I think it'll be a lot more efficient if you just run it, and in case anybody's wondering, Jude Dill, he has COVID. He's recovering at home. And I was exposed at the last meeting to Jim, since I sit next to him. So I'm quarantined, but I'm symptom-free, at least so far. So anyway, why don't you take it, Bob, and you'll do fine, I'm sure.
Oh, well. So if you shut up, I'll start running. All right, we'll call this thing to order, and we will meet with the department heads.
Okay, first, we need to have changes to the tentative agenda, because we need to remove the work sessions.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then also...
Sorry, screwed up, Tom.
Yeah, the two work sessions we were going to have will be removed, and then also the road trip with conservation, the field tour, that has been canceled too, so... Everything down at the bottom has been canceled and removed.
Okay. Any other changes? Now we go to department heads, and we can hear how the election's coming with our fine auditor.
Just wonderful.
That's it, huh?
No, I have to say this. At church on Sunday, the sermon was... mistakes have been done, and it was by the book of Judges, so now I feel like I'm being judged for the mistake I have done. But, yeah, big mistake.
All has sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yeah, well, found out that, yes, secrecy sleeves are required. We fixed that as of Thursday morning. We improvised, us girls got together and thought, what do we have in the office that we can create secrecy sleeves? So we created our own. I ordered some. We got them Friday morning. We've been using secrecy sleeves ever since Thursday morning. The only thing is when the absentee board comes in, all of them that were mailed out without secrecy sleeves, what they have to do is when they open those envelopes, they have to place them in a secrecy sleeve and place them on the table so they can take them out of the secrecy sleeve later. Iowa code. That makes sense. But anyway, we are up to 10,130 absentees. That includes everything at the counter, too. We were very busy. Yesterday we had 195 at the counter. Last Friday, 155, so that's increasing. And out of those 10,130, we have received back 7,572.
Wow.
And we will be open this Saturday from 8 to 5. This will be the last day that anybody can request an absentee ballot to be mailed. The only thing that we will mail next week is if somebody already has an absentee ballot and they spoiled it and it needs to be replaced. Of course, there's going to be a short turnaround. We won't guarantee that we'll get it to them on time and then they'll get back in time, but we can still mail out those. But any new ones will not be honored on Monday. So if you mail it on Saturday and we don't get it till Monday or Tuesday, you're going to get a ballot. You'll get a letter stating that we couldn't mail one, but that's about it on that. And then, yeah, the next two Saturdays we'll be down here. So preparing for the election, trying to get all the supplies and everything taken care of and getting all ready.
Well, that's good. 7,500 people already. Does that count your counter people too?
Of the return? Yes.
No, yeah, the
7,500, yep, that includes everybody at the counter. And we're up to, I think we've been averaging about 100 a day. Last week we did. So.
Well, that's good.
Can we answer questions?
just to be absolutely 100% clear, all the
absentee ballots that have been mailed in so far are valid and people don't need to worry about that.
No, they don't need to worry about that. It'll be up to the absentee board that when they pull that ballot out of the envelope, that they place that in a secrecy sleeve, because if they have to work as a team, a Democrat and a Republican, which they always work as teams anyway, and they have to place that in a secrecy sleeve and then place it in the pile to be counted so that they can pull it out of the secrecy sleeve later to be stacked and counted. So I just caused the absentee board additional work is what I did. So
after all this and all our fine help from the press, how many of them are standing in and not signed?
We're averaging a few every day. Most of those have been, I think the other day, Saturday, I don't know how many ballots we got returned, but there was maybe a total of 7.
Oh.
And the only other issue is, I know, bless their heart, whoever did it, but there was somebody from Precinct 7, because when we pull the ballots out of our box out here for the people that have voted at the counter, people can also from outside that have absentees, they can come up and drop it in the box that we have out here in the hallway, but somebody just dropped their ballot in there. No envelope, no nothing. So we can't accept that because we don't know where it came from or whose it was or any of that. So it's
could
just
be a fake.
In our eyes, it's just a spoiled ballot. So if whoever that was, if they hear or read anything, they need to request a replacement ballot or come down and vote a replacement ballot. So that's about it for my news.
That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
How about IT? You got anything?
I'm just keeping busy like always. Don't really have anything right now, so.
That's good. Good to hear. How about county roads?
Good morning. So we sent out over 500 letters last week to try to, obviously it's a small cross-section, but it's a pretty large number of letters to try to give people a heads up about the upcoming Highway 99 closure. And it certainly, from what I understand, caught some attention. I think somebody must have posted it on Facebook somewhere. So that's good. I mean, it's out there. Our goal was to make sure people were aware as best we could. And so that's not a bad thing to get everybody, catch everybody's eye, I guess. There are some people frustrated. Unfortunately, anytime you close a road, especially a high traffic road, that's the way it goes. So,
well, it means having somebody fall through the bridge.
Well, and that's the funny thing. I mean, I've been emailing with somebody that strongly questions why we're wasting money on a bridge that's perfectly fine. And, it's the bridge needs done. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. So it's definitely a project that needs done, and we'll get through it. We do with everything we've done, and so the information's out there. It's been in the newspaper, so I appreciate that. And I encouraged anybody in the letter that got it to pass it on to anybody they knew that it might impact. So we're just getting that word out there.
Yeah.
Still looking at November 2nd, as far as I know. We have a pre-construction meeting tomorrow, so. If something changes, I'll obviously pass it on next week, but that's the earliest that it would close, so that's kind of the worst case scenario, I would call it. And other than that, we're still doing some ditching and working on some culverts, and guys are out blading this week, trying to deal with some of the washboarding we talked about last week. Even though it's still dry, they're talking some pretty cold temperatures next week, so that's not ideal for blading, so we'll try to get some stuff touched up this week. So, anyway, that's all I have.
Yeah, that person that didn't understand your bridge deal has probably changed his tires before they were all flat, and he put new ones on.
They're frustrated about all sorts of things.
Oh,
and
sure. It's a lot of money.
When it's all said and done, we won't make them entirely happy, but we're still going to move forward and do the project.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, you kind enough to try to wait for the harvest to be over before you destroyed their logs.
I think this is the year that worked. I mean, I think we missed the majority of, you know, the main part of harvest with it being kind of an early season. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I agree. Krista, you want to wait till end and do your report, or?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay. Jared?
We have one item on the agenda, minor subdivision, another one that just was submitted for review. And I expect probably one or two more within the next week or so. Other than that, we had a zoning commission meeting last night. Fortunately, we did have some disagreement over a few of the proposed items for the ordinance update, so there'll be a little bit more discussion and research on that, just to make sure we're getting everything to a format that makes sense for everyone. So that's, but the process is moving along, so it's been a slow year getting going on that, so it's good to see at least we're having that discussion starting to take place. So apart from that, nothing of note. So.
It's going to be interesting getting into that windmill deal.
Yeah, well, that's...
I started trying to read that, that's kind
of... Oh, yeah, because we had the initial for work session there, so we'll address that in the future when we get a chance to meet with you all about that, just try to get a plan of action of how, if anything, we would want to address that at this time, just because it's looking at what's going on in other communities at the present time.
That's good. Thank you. Safety.
Good morning. Really don't have anything new to share or anything earth-shattering.
It is from you.
That's good news.
The next guy, he's going to have something.
Yeah.
Anything, Ken?
Well, last Wednesday, our governing board for the Southeast Iowa Link region met. And I think one of the highlights was Heather Boatman came from Great River Health Services and talked about the... she gave some data, some reports from July 2019 to June 2020, the past year's patients that came through the emergency department. And she listed 1,489 people came and got some mental health help. And she kind of broke it all out, where they went to afterwards too, just by, you know, what services they needed and everything. And they also mentioned that Fort Madison is starting 8 geriatric beds, so Great River Services in Fort Madison will start some geriatric beds soon. Some kind of negative news that came out of the meeting was I heard that Mercy and Cedar Rapids and Cass County closed their psych units, so whenever we lose psych beds in the hospitals, that's a hard thing, you know, in the state. Yeah.
And Iowa City closed too, didn't they?
I believe so. I believe Iowa City closed prior to that, so yeah. And then Eagle View in Bettendorf is a new psych hospital beds that have opened up, so that's a good thing. But right now, they're so new that they can only take private insurance. They can't take the Medicaid clients yet, so they're trying to get contracts with the MCOs to take Medicaid clients, I heard. There was a lot of other things came up in the meeting, but you know, we're still working on our website for SEAL for the region to create a better website. And once it's not up and going yet though, so once we get it up and going, I'll give you the information on the, it'll have a new, URL or a new address to go to it, but we're not quite ready to share that yet. So I guess that's all for now.
Well, you're getting more, you're at least getting recognized as a problem in the election.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, mental health.
Yeah.
Yeah, is a big issue, yes. I guess one other thing I could say is that, you know, our SEAL, those CARES Act dollars that we received, we're distributing those as the schools and the mental health centers send us our applications. And the governing board did vote to open that up a little bit more to some other groups like adult daycare agencies, domestic violence, sexual assault providers, juvenile detention center for children, children's shelters, nursing homes, public health departments, substance abuse providers, transitional housing, homeless shelters, and transportation agencies and providers that serve people with mental health. It's still a mental health focus, as well as a COVID focus, but for these grants. But we opened it up a little broader because we still have some money from that $1.5 million that we received. So we, by the end of the year, we have to turn it all back in if we don't give out the grants. So we're trying to give every opportunity to use the money in our 8-county region. So,
if I'm out of line, tell me. Hope Haven was trying to open up a dual diagnosis. How are they coming?
I believe that they did. They have a few people in there now, and so it's open to a few people, and they're trying to get more. So they're still trying to admit people into that program, and it has started. So
I think last I talked to Bob Bartles, it was staff that was bothering more than anything.
Yeah, getting enough staff to run it is a problem. They can't have more people till they get more staff trained and started.
Yeah.
So
that's the deal.
You're right. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Ken.
Uh-huh.
All right. Our COVID situation.
Good morning.
Yeah,
it's busy. So for the county currently, we have 1,214 cases since they started the case count. Rolling 14-day percentage is at 13.4, and that's actually down a 0.1 from yesterday because we were at 13.5, but not 3 weeks ago, we were a little over 6. So. We've definitely had some increases in the county. I want to really remind everyone to do their social distancing, good hand washing, staying home when they're sick, because we are finding out that people, obviously, when they've had contacts, we have one positive and then they have multiple contacts, and those people usually end up positive. So we just want to remind everyone, if you're sick, please stay home. So we continue to be busy with the contact tracing, and we're also busy with the flu clinics. We had that flu clinic last week. Had good turnout. Really want to thank the Gina's office, emergency management, as well as Rodney's team. He had some of his employees come out and help us get things set up. And then West Burlington Roads came down and set up cones for us, so it worked really well. It was a good practice for us for when there is a COVID vaccine. We continue to do planning with the state on preparation when the vaccine is released. We don't have a date on that. But they do continue to send us the framework for that, sending the agreements, working with pharmacies as well as the long-term care to sign up for that, to get those agreements in place. So we've been working hard on that. We do have a emergency operations center call this afternoon. We have a meeting and it's virtual as well. So it's been busy at public health.
So Iowa is still a red state. Red state?
I don't know that I saw it as red this morning when I see it on the news. We have seen an increase. I think, I don't know where it falls as far as that category. Like I said, I didn't see that on the map it was considered red. I do know that the counties, the states around us have all, there's a lot of red states around us as far as with the increase of the COVID. I know that there is concerns when the hospital groups have talked about the occupancy is going up even around us in the state. So the biggest thing we want to do is make sure our healthcare system isn't overwhelmed. So that's, I know that they worked very hard to flatten the curve, but we continue to have to be very, follow the state recommendations, stay home when you're sick, because that is a challenge. With flu season starting, there's going to be people that have the flu, and then we have people who have COVID, and I think, again, the concern would be that it overwhelms the healthcare system.
Symptoms are very similar, I assume?
They are very similar. It's very, very difficult to distinguish, because obviously the flu symptoms, you can have fever, you can have cough, all of those things could easily be the flu. So always important to make sure that when you go for healthcare, if you see your provider, you let them know what symptoms there are, and sometimes people will go log on to Test Iowa and have the COVID test done first, and if it's negative, then reach out to their healthcare provider. I always encourage people, call your healthcare provider, tell them your symptoms, and let them make the determination if they should come into the office, and then they usually test for COVID and flu, so because both are definitely an option. And definitely want to remind people, if you haven't gotten your flu shot, you can definitely get your flu shot. We are still doing flu clinics, as well as walk-in clinics from 1:30 to 4 on Tuesday and Thursday afternoons. And we have plenty of flu shot left, so.
What a deal, huh? You ever had something else I was gonna ask you? Forgot it. I guess you're not going away, are you? If I think of it, I'll ask you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
The quick test, why does the hospital not do that for when they're bringing people in? For an example, I'm doing a sleep study, so I have to do a test on the 30th, and then I have to quarantine until the 4th before I can go in for a sleep study. Don't we have more quick tests? I mean, nobody seems to be getting those.
So they are, so a lot of those tests are going out to long-term care and things. So they're doing a rapid testing because CMS is requiring that they do testing multiple times a week. The difference is if you're preparing for something, you know, obviously the regular test, the PCR test is more readily available. So if you go to the hospital, my understanding is if they're going to admit you and need to know if you're positive COVID, they will do the rapid test. However, because the availability is limited for those rapid tests, because long-term care needs those and different places need those type of testing, that they will use the PCR test because you have time to plan ahead because you know you're going to go into a procedure, you can go 4 or 5 days ahead of time, get that test done, and not utilize that rapid testing supplies, which are definitely, you know, not as readily available yet. They're working on that, but they're just not quite as available.
So the president was in and out of the hospital in short order. How soon before ever that drug or whatever cocktail is available to all of us?
Well, my understanding is, you know, he took that cocktail, and that's not been FDA approved at this point. He did take the dexamethasone and the remdesivir, which is available. So even here locally, if you went to the hospital and have that need, they would have those drugs available as well. I don't know how quickly they'll be able to. I heard there was some consideration for emergency authorizations for that, but my understanding, I've not heard that that's been passed, so I don't know what the time frame on that is. I do know that the remdesivir and dexamethasone seems to be doing well for a lot of people.
Good, good. So do they use that here, or are you allowed to say?
Yes, they use that here. Yes. Yeah. Yes, they do.
How about the hydroxychloroquine, or whatever the name is?
You know, I don't know if anyone locally is using that. I don't really know about that. I know that there was, originally it had, there was a lot of talk about using that, and then there was some concerns that there was some heart arrhythmias. So I don't know if that has really kind of pulled that off the market. I guess I don't hear of anyone talking about that, using that for COVID at this point, so.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So the first one I have on here is Chris Lee with Conservation.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. I don't really have a lot for you today other than just note that we are going to postpone our field tour and work session that we had scheduled for tomorrow due to a couple of you guys being unable to attend. So it goes in today's day and age. We'll schedule that for sometime later. We're going to do that later.
That's good, because I'm sure we're all looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. So all right, that's it for today.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Janelle, bringing in a lot of money?
Good morning. Good morning. I don't really have anything new to report. I do have a small agenda item, though.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Hi, Lisa.
Good morning. We have had COVID exposure in our office as well, so several of us are actually working from home, awaiting our tests. Other than that, just staying busy with our CarPal transition. That's our new data management system. We're supposed to be getting that converted next week. So next week should be just a hoot, like we don't have enough stress. Now we're gonna add a whole new computer system on top of it. Other than that, we're also working on the AV project and looking to see if we can find some grant money that may actually cover the unexpected costs of that that we will likely incur due to some changes in what we thought we were gonna need due to the COVID issues up in our courtroom. Other than that, just staying busy.
Great.
I have one other, I have a call-in user on here, but I don't, they didn't punch in their ID, so I'm not sure who it is, so. Do I have somebody else on the call as well?
Okay.
I guess not.
We'll go to correspondence. Tom, did you have a correspondence?
I did not.
Okay. We'll move on to discussion and vote accounts payable claims. And this session is $1,626,005.52.
I'll make a motion to approve and note that it's a little high, but about $500,000 of that is for secondary road, and that's a great deal of gravel. And then we're the fiscal agent for the CEO region, and about $900,000 of that is from the CEO, the mental health region, for not only the regular claims, but for some of the CARES Act distributions. So I would make a motion to approve that.
And I'll second it.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes. We have a tape to prove that you initialed this. Claims reimbursement for $251.82.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes. Resolution final plot for Edward Schaefer.
Schaefer.
Schaefer?
Yep, Edward Schaefer subdivision.
Okay. Jared, we'll leave that up to you then.
Unfortunately, I don't. It's not quite as interesting of a story as the name of the subdivision we had last week. That's kind of a once in a blue moon situation there. But in this case, it is noteworthy that this is the name is in tribute to the late father of the subdivider who had resided in the house on this property. So what the plan is here is to take this. It's about 13-acre property. And split it into two parts where the existing house would be on lot two. There's already a buyer ready to purchase that and move into that house. And then lot one would be retained by the family of the late Mr. Schaefer. And the plat includes an access easement through lot one to provide access to Flint Bottom Road from the house on lot two. I should note that there was the family also owned the lot to the west up until recently. That was already a separate legal parcel and has been sold. And they did do a lot line adjustment. You can see it's parcel N on the plat, which was done as a lot line adjustment to ensure that the driveway entrance from Flint Bottom was entirely on lot one. And that way, in terms of that shared access there, that would be so that only two property owners would be using that, and then the lot to the west, which I believe someone plans to develop for a house, that one will have its own separate entrance from the road. I don't have any significant comments from the review process. It's not in any 2 mile area. It's just beyond the 2 miles outside of West Burlington, so no city approval required. Did get a comment from Secondary Roads that no additional access would be permitted from Flint Bottom. I think the subdivider is well aware of that. That was the intent of having the shared access easement. However, just for the record, we have included that as a condition on the resolution that the access for lot two would have to utilize that easement through lot one. So with that, I recommend approval of Edward Schaefer subdivision with the one condition.
Tom, you have any
questions? Motion to approve the proposal.
All right, I'll second it.
Motion.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes. we'll get those signed and to you somehow.
You.
Hi, Bob?
Yes, sir.
Bob, tell Terry.
Yes.
I can stop down there later, and like we do, if you'll get the stuff that needs signed, I'll call you when I'm in the parking lot. Set it out on the back steps. You go inside. I'll come pick it up, take it to the car. I will get it signed, put it back on the steps, call you, and you can pick it up.
Okay.
We can do that later today if that'll work for you guys.
Yep, will do.
Sounds like a bunch of crooks to
me. Okay, thanks.
Does she need a secrecy envelope for that?
We can provide them.
All right, we have personnel actions. From the correction center, we have three. Davis Catlin, or Catlin Davis, I know her.
Caitlin Davis.
Caitlin Davis, I do know her. A resignation. She quit, huh? Okay. And John Hyde, transportation officer, part-time. Is a 12-month step increase, so his old salary was, don't know, his new salary will be $18.67. And Colton Whalen, 24-month step increase. New salary will be $13.34. As a kitchen part-time cook.
Motion to approve all three county personnel actions.
I second. Terry?
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes. From the treasurer's office, Ashley Sherwood, clerk, partial day without pay on 10/16. How do you wish?
Motion to approve.
Okay, I second.
Okay, Tom Broker.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes. We have reports on file, and they will be in the auditor's office for your viewing later. They are Dewey Buyer Trust, General Citizens Monthly Report, Sheriff's Monthly Report, and Veterans Affairs Report. They're all very interesting reading. We didn't approve them, did we? We just accepted them.
Yeah, we
I'm
just.
I'm not sure I like this not happening. Part-time ability to read.
Motion to approve.
Second. Terry?
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Agenda items, I just want to bring up that we will not be having a board meeting on Election Day. It'll be the day after, on November the 4th.
And the reason we're not calling it off is because of, we have to pay bills. Mm-hmm. Somebody'd have to go hungry for 2 weeks. Many reports. You haven't been out spreading germs around, Tom?
Yeah. I attended the Grow Greater Burlington meeting this morning. It was mostly just an informational Zoom meeting. They're hopeful to start in-person meetings in January. And I attended the Southeast Iowa Link Mental Health Region meeting that Ken discussed. We approved claim that there was extensive discussion on the distribution of the CARES Act funds. And like Ken mentioned, it's a Mercy Hospital, I believe it was Mercy Hospital in Iowa City. And I believe it was Cass County anyway, eliminated its mental health beds. And they were eliminated due to the financial fallout of the COVID-19 shutdown. Hospitals were shut down so long, they canceled diagnostic and non-emergency surgeries, so they didn't have any income. Another thing I thought was, sounded terrible, it said that right at the time school started, there was a big jump in the number of juveniles presenting at the emergency department seeking treatment or are already in crisis. That's painful to hear. That's all I've got.
Okay, last time you asked me to report, I neglected to say that we had a Highway 61 Coalition meeting with, and Brian and I attended it by Zoom here. And in that process, we delegated Dallas Schmidt to go as our representative up to Davenport to talk to DOT. And I know that we're still alive down here. We appreciate what they're doing for us on this new Highway 61 and keep the money flowing so we get the project done and by 2029. And I think that's about all I have. So public input. Anybody, you guys want to say anything? You're the most public we got here. Everybody else on the take. I mean, the payroll.
Don't have Jim here to set the timer.
Yeah. Well, we'll set a timer anyway, and you keep track of us. So, anything important that ought to be said that didn't get said already? You don't mind public ears? You guys have anything news? How about when you go out and attend those little towns meetings? They talk about what we're doing at DESCOM and that kind of stuff?
A little bit. Depends. If they're unhappy.
They're unhappy?
If they're unhappy, they talk about it.
Yeah. Well, that's the only time we ever hear anything when they're unhappy.
Wouldn't it be nice if people talked about things when they were happy about it, too?
Oh, we'd never get through it because we make them so happy. Yeah, I heard that. Wait a minute, Bob. Let me make a comment here before you said maybe you want to rephrase yours. People were charming in at the Hawkeye because they didn't ever print anything happy. It was always bad news. It was all they wanted. And one of the editors said, if a plane lands successfully at the airport, it's not news. But if a plane crashes at the airport, we all want to know about it. And we're all going to charge out there and take a look at a wreck. So I try to keep that in mind when I think about the newspapers and what you guys do for us. We really do appreciate it. You're very much needed.
I try to print happy stuff sometimes.
Yeah. Well, you write it so it's happy.
Yeah.
You do a good job, both of you. We
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it.
Back in 2006, I said something mildly critical of the Gibbs brothers, and so the next day in the paper, there was an 18-inch letter to the editor from Grant wasn't very kind to me. So I called him up and we had lunch together and we've been friends ever since. And I decided then, you know, there's enough people criticizing musicians. I think I'll just try and say good things about them. Unless they're famous and they come up from Nashville and put on a crappy show because we're a little bit. And then it's okay to be mean.
2 minutes up, Bob. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes up.
Our time is up. Yeah. So, I guess I'll just call this meeting over.
Do you motion to adjourn, Tom?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, sir. We look forward to you staying healthy.
You all have a nice day.
Yeah. You too, Tom.
You.
Thank you.